Anyway, so ready to go, guys. Today's daf in Masechet Nedarim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Yutes. Now, we're getting into a very fascinating kind of little knetch over here. I don't want you to get overwhelmed by it. It's really very cute if you go through it in the end. But you have to have a little bit of patience until it works itself out. Basically, what's happened is this. We had the Mishnah that went through a bunch of cases of Stam Nedarim Lahachmir Upirushim Lahakel, right? And then we had the Mishnah later on that talks about weird ex post facto explanations in which a guy asers Atzmi, asers himself, but it turns out he was talking about a bone that he was hiding in a drawer in his bedroom. Crazy stories, right? He's talking about a cherem. He's talking about actually a fishnet, which he was calling a cherem. He wasn't talking about any kind of cherem, kohenim, or anything else. Okay, so the Mishnah said basically that there were Stam Nedarim, in which we're not quite sure what it means, because we ourselves understand that the word Cherem could mean either Cherem Ekoanim, or it could mean the Charami for Berak Abayit. Okay, so those are things which are Minei Ube, unclear. Then there's these kinds of crazy ex post facto explanations that nobody in his right mind would ever assume, that when a guy says Cherem, he's referring to a fishnet. I mean, that was the mission later on, Adav Chav, that we incorporated into the mission last night, so we'd get the whole picture. Now, the problem is that the Gemara yesterday asked that in the Mishnah that we had in the Tares, Masechet Tares, it said Safek Naziris Lahakel. So Safek Naziris Lahakel sounds like a contradiction to Stam Nedarim Lahachmir. Because, I mean, Nazirus is a kind of neder, and so if it's a suffix, why exactly would it be lahakil if over here we're saying it's lahachmir? So our first take on that was that Rabbi Zera wanted to say that we find a machlokas that has to do with the question of whether people are ready to risk doubt. And therefore, if you hold like the Rabbanan. And the case, the given case over there, is that a person is magdish his behemot, or he's magdish his chayot. So we know that a koi is a suffik behema, suffik chaya, and we said that according to the Rabbanan, the halacha is, look, he was magdish that also, because that is could also be included under either chaya or behema. So whatever he said, it would include the koi. Rabbi Lazar, which we said was the correct Yerusha, which we'll see later today, Rabbi Lazar says no. Because a person, when he's trying to do something, he's not going to do something which is now going to involve him in trying to figure out what he did. You know, I don't know whether a koy is a behem or a chaya. You know, like, forget it. If I'm doing something, I'm doing something that I know, and I'm not saying something, and now I got to go and research the subject and see whether it was included or not included. That's not what I do. So that is called, Gavi, eino machnis nafshe lisveika. So he doesn't put, this is called, the question of the koy is eino machnis mamona lisveika. The correct word is really ma'ayel, because we use the Aramaic. So, inu ma'ayel momona l'sveika. So, if you hold, like Rabbi Elazar, that a person is not going to put himself, even his money, into a suffix, so then obviously he's not going to put himself into a suffix, but he's going to say something where he's not sure whether he's going to be a nazir or not. So, like the case we had was, you know, he says, for sure there's 100 kilos worth of grain in this package. And somebody else says, well, I'll be a nazir if there's not 100. And the other guy says, yeah, well, I'll be a nazir if there's 100. No chance there is 100. Anyway, so then the case over there was that it gets stolen. We never find out. So the question is, so is this guy a suffix nazir? Because now he has no way really of ascertaining. So Rabbi Elazar says, well, look, if he's not going to be machlis his money into a suffix, so he's for sure not going to be machlis himself into a suffix. Therefore, says Rabbi Zera, that's a simple explanation. Since we know that besides the fundamental issue about whether the din of neder is goes l'chomer or not, with stam nazir l'hachmir, But obviously, if you hold that the intent of the person who makes the neder is never meant to be understood as creating a doubt as to whether the neder would be chal on him, so then that would mean that the suffolk would be lakula, because he certainly wouldn't have wanted to put himself into that kind of situation. Therefore, the Mishnah in Tyrus is going according to Rabbi Lazar. This is Rabbi Zera's suggestion. Now, all of this we did yesterday. The problem is that we had this crazy question by Abaye that was absolutely, mind-numbingly stupid. You know, if a kid would have asked you this in the fifth grade, you would have thrown him out of class. And Abaye asks this as a kasha. So we said, what was the kasha that Abaye asked? So Abaye says that you cannot get away with saying that the Mishnah over there was going the way that Rabbi Zera explains it, and that Suffolk Naziris is Lahakel like Rabbi Elazar, because then why did the Mishnah right over there say that in the case where we have a Suffolk about a Bechor, and the question is this animal a Bechor or not? So either an animal, kosher animal, had twins, a non-kosher animal, a chamor, had twins, a human had twins. We don't know which one came first, the female or the male. So we have a suffix, right? Okay, so in all of the cases, if the Kohen wants to collect the money that's owed him, in the case of a human, the chamisha slayim, or whether he wants the pet or chamor, whatever, so he's got to prove it. Amotzi mechaver olav araya. Great. Asks Abaye, so then why does the Mishnah say that you have to be machmir not to do giza v'aveda on a bechor, suffolk bechor of a behema tahira, because maybe it's hegdish? After all, why would a person put his money into a suffolk? What? Person put his money into a suffolk? What, are you crazy? Person didn't put himself into anything. A bechor is a bechor is a bechor. It's nothing to do with what he does. So the Gemara says, what? Like, why are you mixing up a case in which the person does something? That has to do with Rabbi Zera. Yes, I understand. So that if you're going to try to tell me it's Rabbi Zera, then there's something's wrong. Because over here he is, my alma mona, Lisfeka. Okay, so look, maybe if it weren't for the fact that we had answered the whole thing, I'll leave it to Rabbi Zera, maybe we could have, that there's a difference between Momon and himself. I don't know, maybe. But in any event, this is irrelevant, right? So we didn't understand yesterday. That's where we landed up yesterday. We didn't understand what the heck this is supposed to mean, and we found that there's other gersos in the Gemara because it doesn't make any sense, and that the Ritva talks out that maybe this is just a stage. Now, was it just a stage? That means that the today's Gemara that we're going to begin right now has got to be the resolution of what it was a stage two, right? So here is what this question was meant to lead up to. So that even though on the surface you would think you could never ask anything that would have to do with something that is a din to something which is the person being machlis himself. That was the question on Abaye, right? I'm going to show you today, says the Gemara, that that is not what Abaye's intent was. Abaye's intent was to lead up to the following question. So obviously, to make some type of connection between the din of Giza Vaveda, which has nothing to do with your intent, and the question of whether you intend to be machlis something into a suffix, that doesn't make any sense. But watch me pull this rabbit out of a hat and show you that there is indeed a connection between the beginning of this Mishnah and the end of the Mishnah, which you would never have dreamt of, okay? This is what the kasha is. Now, in order to get to the end of the kasha, you just have to have a little bit of patience. And before we get there, I just want to be magdim. We've talked about these sugyas many times. The question of mashkim. The question of tumas mashkim. Now we have a big machlokas, whether the whole idea of tumas mashkim is maybe only derabbanan, You know that we're very machmer on mashkin because with the mashkin rechoyzer b'leyos techila, and we can use mashkin to be matami the outside of kelim mirabbanan, not the inside, in order not to make a mistake, so you don't burn truma of a country. You remember all of that, right? Because we did a lot of that in kelim. So the question is there a difference between mashkin being makabel tuma themselves, or mashkin being metame other things? So we're going to see that some hold that mashkin to be mekabel tuma, that's the oraisa. But mashkin to be metame other things, that's the rabbona. Okay, set that aside for a moment. Now, another question that you need to remember is that also, a halacha is so famous, we've discussed it so many times, that the mashkin in the Beis HaMikdash are tahirin. So in other words, if they're spraying down the meat and they're cleaning off the meat and the avorim and the stomach and where there's a lot of water that's going on over there and they're spraying out all of the dirt from the stomach and so on, that any mashkin that you find there are not going to be tummy. They're not makabel tuma, apparently, as it seems to say, not makabel tuma. Now, there's a big machlokas about that that we've had many times, about whether that is a straightforward halacha l'meishim Sinai, and therefore it doesn't prove anything about anything, because it could just be a special halacha. However, most of the shitas of the Gemara end up holding that it's actually based on a derabbanan. So that's the question. I don't understand. The rabbanan can't cancel in order to avoid tuma in the base of English. They can't cancel a din d'oraisa, right? So if you hold that the meaning of this is also Gavi, remember, mashke beit midbachaya dechan. Anything that's found in, and that's a question whether it's beit madbachaya or beit mitbachaya, that's a separate question, whether it includes all of the mashkin on the mizbeach or not. Let's ignore that for a moment, because we don't have to deal with that right now. So the question is, what does dechan mean? Now, one meaning of dechan could mean that they're not makshir l'kabel tuma. We're not going to discuss that today at all. We're going to assume that dechan means they are tahar. Dechan could mean they are tahar, or dechan could mean they will not be metami anything else. If that whole thing is a derabbanan, so then you'll have to admit that if somebody is claiming that those mashkim are actually considered to be tahar, so then the Rabbanan couldn't make something that's d'oraisa tame make it tar, right? It must be, therefore, that if you hold that mashke beit matbechayer dechan, that it must be that mashkin themselves are really only the Rabbanan. And when it came to the base, some English Rabbanan didn't want to spread tuma around, and therefore they were even more makel. Now, they weren't geyser on mashkin. Now, let's keep those two ideas in mind, and now take a look at what the Gemara is trying to do and suspend judgment about how in the world this has anything to do with the question of Suffolk Naziris. I mean, this even sounds even crazier than what Abaya was saying. And yet, interestingly enough, Abaya serves as an introduction to this whole crazy sukkah. So let's start like this. So Ela Ikasha, if there's a problem, then this is the problem. Again, on the surface, what do you mean, if there's a problem, this is the problem? What does this problem have to do with that problem? Okay, but this is the way many of the Rishonim understand it, that Abaya was introducing the real problem. So here's the real problem. The real problem is that we go on to say that we're talking about over here, remember, this machlokas between, according to Rabbi Zeira, we're trying to explain that Naziras is Lakula because of Rebbe Elazar. So here's the kasha. How can you say that Naziras is Lakula because of Rebbe Elazar? My problem is that in the Braisa it says that if you have a suffix of Mashkin, if the question is whether a liquid was Makabel Tuma, so then it's Lakumra, Tame. If there's a question about whether something that was tame with mashkin touched something else was metame it, so let's say you had some mashkin tameim on a stick, and you're waving the stick, and I'm not sure, did it come in contact with the bread over there? Did it not come in contact with the bread? That's a suffix which is tahar. So says Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Elazar agreed. Now, first, I've got a problem with this. Again, patience, 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 because this whole thing sounds like it's completely without any relevance to anything that we're talking about. So just set aside your judgment and your critical facilities, and let's just go through the Gemara and see. First of all, says the Gemara, I don't even understand. How could this be? You're telling me that Rabbi Elazar agrees that Mashkin is actually in the question of litamei. Remember, litamei, a yud, is the equivalent of a tuf, which is reflexive, right? Hakol midaber is the equivalent of hakol mitdaber. Mashkin litamei is a question of mashkin lehit tamei. Reflex, they became tame. So you're claiming over here that in the event that we don't know whether the mashkin were mekabel tuma, that Rabbi Elazar would say that they are tame lechumra? But how could that be? There's another brayta that says, Rabbi Elazar omer, ein tuma lamashkin kol ikar. There's no such thing as tuma for mashkin at all. And I'll prove it to you. Tell you that. Because remember that Heid Yosi ben Yoezer ish Tzreda al ayel kamtza dechan ve'al mashkin beit matpechaya dechan. These two, if they're halakal ha-mashmi sinais, went together, and that would explain why we put them this way, if you all it's halakal ha-mashmi sinai, we're assuming that it's not, that there's a certain type of chagav, so a certain type of locust, called the ayel kamtza, that is mutter to eat, it's dechan, it's kosher. And another thing that he said was that in the Beis HaMikdash, where we do shchita, mitbechaya, so the din is that any liquids over there are also not tummy. So now the question is whether this means that they are tummy, not tummy at all, or not tummy to be mitame. So that we'll see in a moment. But the problem is that if suffix tuma is a suffix deoraisa, so then there would be no way that we could say that we could make a special din that we shouldn't be mekabel tuma at all in the Beis HaMikdash. So what basically Yossi ben Yoezer is saying is that really the only tuma is the Rabbanan. And since the Rabbanan didn't want the Beis HaMikdash to have mashkim tmeim in it, so because of that, they weren't geyser. But if Rabbi Elazar is based on Yossi ben Yoezer, so then that means that he holds that the entire din of tumas mashkin is only the Rabbanan. So how could he say in that first price that we just said, that in the case where we have a suffix, and it's only a suffix Rabbanan, that we're going to be machmir? I don't understand. Now, I mean, I do understand if we go according to Shmuel. Because Shmuel says that the way to understand dechan, that they're tohar, only means that they're tohar when it comes to if they touch something else, then we're making. But they themselves, there's nothing we could do about, because they themselves are tummy. Okay, so then it makes a lot of sense. Because then what Shmuel is saying is, look, when it comes to the tumah of themselves, which is a deoraisa, obviously the Rabbanan cannot be mekel. But when it comes to the tumah of their making other mashkim tmeim, or to make things tummy, that already is exerted the Rabbanan. So when it comes to making something else tummy, over there, the Rabbanan were making the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so then there's no problem, because then that means that even Yossi ben Yoezer, which means even Rabbi Elazar, agrees that when it comes to their own suffix tuma, so then we'll go lechumra. Fine. So far, so good. But what about according to Rav? I mean, Rav claims that Yossi ben Yoezer means that they don't even have tumas atzma. So that must mean that the entire concept of Tumas Mashkin is only the Rabbanan. And the Rabbanan were not gozer on Mashke Beit Mitmat Bechaya, right? So then how can you say that according to Rabbi Elazar, that we would be Machmir on mashkin about their own tuma. If he's going according to the way Rav understands it, and he's basing his entire sheet on Yossi ben Yoezer and Mashke Beit Mat Bechaya, how do you explain the fact that he's mechalik here between the Tumas Mashkin Atzman and the Tumas Mashkin Latame Acherim? So what are you going to say? Okay, so that means that the Mishnah in Tyrus cannot be going according to Rabbi Elazar. Obviously. What? None of this even appears in the Mishnah in Tyrus. What in the world is going on? And the Gemara like just, you know, throws this out, you know. It's a nice throwaway line, and any idiot would understand, yeah, that's a serious problem. Which is absolutely incredible, right? It's like, has nothing to do with anything. Okay. So he should have said, Suffolk Rabbanan Lakula, according to Rav, even Binogea, the Suffolk of Mashkin Latame as Atzmam. And that's the problem that we have with Rabbi Zera. You gotta be kidding. Okay. So how is this the problem against Rabbi Zera, who wants to say that the Mishnah in the Zeras, in Tyrus about Naziris being Lakula, is going Aliba the Rabbi Lazar? What does that have to do with anything? First of all, can we just cancel Rabbi Zera, okay? Rabbi Zera didn't say anything, let's say, right? I mean, we would still have a contradiction in Rabbi Lazar, with or without Rabbi Zera. I mean, is Rabbi Lazar is saying that it's Dechan, which means it's only Drabbanan, and on the other hand, he's saying that we should go L'chumra, right? So the point is, so if we didn't have Rabbi Zera, we could say a general rule, you know what? Maybe Rabbi Lazar holds Suffolk Drabbanan L'chumra. I don't know, you know? Agreed. I mean, we never heard that before, but I mean, it's not so weird. But now that we're saying that Rabbi Lazar is going L'chumra, even if it is a Drabbanan, so then that would mean he would certainly go L'chumra in any D'oraisa, which would mean that in Naziris he should go L'chumra. And therefore, what we're trying to say is that even though when we made fun of Abaye and we said, what in the world does a situation which occurs on its own have to do with the sheet of Rabbi Zera about whether a person would willingly put himself into a position of suffolk, right? That was what we thought was crazy. But now, does it make sense to say, this is how the Ran understands it, that you're not going to justify, in my opinion, dealing with any Drabbanan more chomer than you would deal with a D'oraisa? That doesn't make sense to me. So it's true that when you're talking about Naziris, a person wouldn't want to put himself into that kind of situation. But still, why would we be more machmer on something, even if it has to do with a guy, his own svara, whether he wants to put himself into it or not? Does it make sense what Rabbi Zera is saying, and that Rabbi Lazar ends up telling me that when it comes to a Drabbanan, we're going to be machmer even on a Drabbanan and we'll go L'chumra, but when it comes to a D'oraisa, which is the getter of a neder, Naziris, over there, since it involves a person's determination about whether he wants to, there we'll go L'kula? Nah. So therefore, it appears that if the Mishnah is telling me that Naziris is Lakula, to claim that that's because of Rabbi Lazar, it doesn't make sense. Because look, Rabbi Lazar's even being machmer on the Drabbanan. So of course he's going to be machmer on something like a Naziris, which is a D'oraisa. You'll say, well, but I'm not going to include some new issue about the person's intent, which makes the bottom line very unbalanced. That's how the Ron understands it. So the bottom line would be that when it comes to a very chomor issue, you're going to be mekel. But do you rise? Why are you going to be mekel? Well, because we figure a person wouldn't be machlis atzmo l'safek. So that you're going to be mekel on. But on something that's a straight out the rabbanan, and that would be the question of mashkin, that you're going to be machbar. No, I don't believe it. So it doesn't work out. So this is one of those balancing acts. Therefore, the Gemara doesn't even end up explaining the question because the question is not a logical question. And that's why Abaye was driving us crazy yesterday, because it wasn't really logical. What Abaye was trying to point out is that in all of this, you have to take into consideration a holistic vision of the way that we deal with sfeikas. That's the point. And the holistic vision breaks down completely if you start inserting what Rabbi Zera says, that we should take into consideration what a person is thinking, even though we're not ready to take anything else into consideration, even including the fact that the Torah never even answered it, that we're going to go to Chumra, but when it comes to talking about what the person is thinking, that we're going to go to Don't like it. Fine, okay, so it's one of those types of things that is a judgment issue, and it just doesn't smell right. That would be, why it is that the whole sugya doesn't smell right. It's true, the whole thing doesn't smell right, because it's dealing with smells and sensibilities rather than a strictly logical question. There's no logical question here. In other words, I could not create a syllogism and point out to you that there's a contradiction here. There is no contradiction. And yet, in terms of the overall sense of how do we approach the issue of sfeikas, whether sfeikas derabbanan and sfeikas deoraisa and sfeikas about intent, those things should balance out a little bit, don't you think? That a sfeika deoraisa, which involves intent, we shouldn't over there say, well, because we're dealing with intent, let's assume it's a kula. Doesn't make sense. Okay. So therefore, we need another solution. We're back to the question. If we don't like the overall sense of the way that we're dealing with the Mishnah in Tyrus to say, well, the Mishnah in Tyrus is going Alibi Rabbi Elazar because we don't really like it to be going Alibi Rabbi Elazar. So then what are we going to do? So now we're back to the question. How come our Mishnah says that Stam Nedarim are Lahach, Mir Pirushan Lahakel? And over there, the Mishnah in Tyrus says that Naziris, which is a type of neder, is lahakel, instead of saying it's lahachmer, and stam Naziris lahakel. So we have to figure out another answer if we're not going to use Rabbi Zera's answer. Ella says, I have another answer. The answer could be that the Mishnah in Tyrus is going Alibi Rabbi Yehuda. In Aramish is going Alibi Rabbi Shimon. Which Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon? Take a look at the Bright. The Bright says like this. A guy makes the neder, and we spoke about this case. A guy says, wow, I'm convinced there's 100 kilo of wheat in this pile, right? If there ain't 100 kilo, I mean, I'll be a darn nuzzier. Another guy say, yeah, well, I'll be a monkey's uncle, Nazir, if there is. I don't believe there's no 100 kilo here. Okay, so fine. They go, and the big moment comes. Oh, they're coming with the big scale, and now they're going to decide who's a Nazir. Well, they arrive, and somebody's made off with the pile. So now, what's the din? So Rabbi Yehuda says, nope, nobody is a Nazir in this case. Why? Because it's a suffix. So apparently this guy is not going to be machlis as atzmo a suffix, or maybe there's another reason. Maybe there's something about Naziris which be'etzim can't be a suffix. We'll see. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, since it's a suffix, he's a nazir. It's a suffix d'oraisa. So then he would be a nazir. So that would mean that, like our Mishnah says, a stam neder is lahachmer. So over there should be the equivalent of a stam naziris, where we don't know the solution, right? Okay, so then what we're saying is that aliba de Rabbi Yehuda, a person is not going to do something that's going to put him into a position of not knowing. Am I a nazir? I'm not a nazir. So because of that, it's the equivalent of the answer we gave before, but it doesn't involve us in the contradictions in Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Yehuda is basically saying that a person is not going to put himself into a matzav in which he's not sure. But, I mean, that means that he does not agree with our Mishnah, because our Mishnah says that we will go l'chumra. Okay, so that's the answer. Rabbi Shimon, however, says that he is a Nazir, which means we'll go l'chumra like our Mishnah. Very straightforward. Problem is, well, what are you going to do with the fact that Rabbi Yehuda seems to contradict himself in the following? Rami to Rabbi Yehuda to Rabbi Yehuda. Here, apparently, Rabbi Yehuda is ready to say he's definitely not a Nazir. Why? Because lo ma'alina shnafshil esveika. What do you do with the exact opposite in Vramini? Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, if a person, now this is right here in our Mishnah, that's where I'm going to show you, it doesn't make sense. Rabbi Yehuda said in our Mishnah that stam truma, so somebody said this thing should be like truma. And he didn't say whether he meant truma salishka or whether he meant truma zgranais. And it says here that according to Rabbi Yehuda, in Yehuda, so then it's Osir. But in the Galil, it's Mutter. Why is it Mutter in the Galil? Because in the Galil, they never heard of Trumas Halishka, and that, therefore, how could it be referring to anything but Truma of the Goren? So there, in the Galil, where they only use it for Trumas Goren, there's no suffix at all, right? But why is there no suffix? Because they never heard of it. But what if they would have heard of it? Then what would we have said, that we have to go l'chumra? Wait a minute. Didn't you just say that according to Rabbi Yehuda, we go l'kula because a person is not machnes atzatzmai into a suffix? And the only reason is because they never heard of Truma Salishka. So Taima Dein Makirin. But if they would, then we would have to go l'chumra. So apparently Rabbi Yehuda means that a person is going to be machber on himself, even in cases of a suffix. Whoa. Okay. I'll explain to you why in the case of I'll be darned and I'll be a nuzzer if there's not 100 kilo in it. Why in that case, actually, did Rabbi Yehuda say that the din would be that we would go l'kula? It's not because of what you think. It's a different issue. When it comes to Naziras, there's an obvious difference. If a guy is a suffic Nazir, he's worse off than if he was a Vadai Nazir. Much worse off. That's the point. So in a case where somebody's going to put himself into an even worse position than he would if he was definitely a Nazir, of course he's not going to put himself into that kind of position. That has nothing to do with the general question of whether Mael Inish Nafshel is Sveika, you see? So why is that? Because look, Gabi Kri Kosova, in any case where the suffix leaves you worse off, and it's going to be more chomer than the Vadai, of course the person didn't want to be in a suffix. Loma Ayel Nafshel is Sveika. Because look, if he were definitely a Nazir, so then what would happen? At the end of 30 days, he brings a carbon, does his giluach, and now he goes back to being a normal person. What's he going to do if he's a suffic Nazir? Huh? What's he going to do? He can't bring a carbon, can he? Maybe it would be chulin la'azara. So what's he going to do? He'll be a Nazir forever and ever. Do you really think that anybody wants to put himself into that kind of situation? No. So that's why, I mean, you can compare a case of Stam Naziris with the case of Suffolk Naziris with the case of Suffolk Nadorim. Now, wait a minute. We didn't say over here exactly what the guy said. You know, this guy that you say, this Meshugana who says, I'm going to make myself a god darn Nazir if there ain't 100 kilo in that grain, right? In that merit grain. So suppose the idiot says, I'm going to be a Nazir for the rest of my life. That's called a Nazir Olam. we're going to see when we get into the denim of Naziris that there's a different type of Naziris. A Naziris that is called a Nazir Olam. There's a very interesting halacha about a Nazir Olam. And that is, as a halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai, someone who makes himself a Nazir Olam, whenever his hair gets impossible to deal with, so he's allowed to bring karbanas, to be makel the hair a little bit, shave off a little bit so he can get along for another year or two, and then he could do it again when it again becomes too much to handle. Now, if he's a suffix, we're going to see that obviously he's worse off even here. So the Gemara's original kasha is, well, if he's a Nazir Olam, so it doesn't matter, because a Nazir Olam boils down to a Nazir who can never get out of being a Nazir. And maybe this hick said that he's going to be a darn Nazir Olam if it isn't 100 kilo, right? I mean, he didn't say what kind of Nazir he's going to say. So Amalei Vunabar Yudel Ravam, what if the guy said a rainy Nazir Olam? So how are you going to explain it then? Then there would be no difference between a Suffolk and a Vadai and law. And over there, you're also saying lo maya linish nafshul suffik. No, what are you talking about, says Rava. And the Nazir Olam also, the suffik is worse than the vadai. Because at least the vadai is allowed to go ahead, bring his karbonis as soon as he can't handle the hair anymore. So ich bit saro make a batar, maybe shalosh behemot. But if he, we don't even know if he's a nazir because we never got to weighing that grain. So then, if he's a suffix, he'll never be able to be make a basar. So I say, even in a case like that, lo maya linish nafshel sveika, but that's specifically because the suffix is worse than the vada. But that has nothing to do with the question over here about stam nedarim, where we don't have that kind of situation, right? So, okay, it's valid to make a distinction. This is a great distinction. The Mishnah over there was talking about Naziris, and the Mishnah over here is talking about Nedarim. And when it comes to Suffolk Naziris, there's a very good reason why even those who would say that Nedarim we would go Lahachmir would say that by Naziris, for sure, a guy would never have intended to allow himself to be put into a pickle like this, in which he can never get out of his Naziris in any way. Says again, Ravuna Bar Yehuda, and what if this hick says, I'll be danged if I ain't a Nazir just like Shimshon HaGibor. How about if he says that if this doesn't have 100 kilo in it? Now, Shimshon HaGibor, he's a Nazir forever, and he's not allowed to cut his hair even if it gets really heavy duty. So there, you don't have the answer, do you, Rava? Huh? What are you going to tell me there? You're not going to tell me that the Suffolk is worse than the Vadai? Because it's exactly the same. He, anyway, he can never cut his hair, and he remains usher in this fashion. So I don't see. What are you going to do about that case? Omar Hareni knows a Shimshon. What are you going to do about that? So Rava says, we cut it out already. We're not talking about Nozer Shimshons over here, darn it. What? Please. I mean, there's a limit to how hick a hick is, you know? So another Shimshon, this Brisa was not talking about, you're right, Deinochinami, in a case where a guy really would have said such a thing. So I would have agreed that in that case, we do say, Mayel Inish Nafshel is fake, but we're not talking about a case like that. So another Shimshon, Tanya, where did the Brisa refer to another Shimshon? Oh, Marlais, Ravuna Bar Yehuda, Sister Rava, I knew you would say that, but guess what I got up my sleeve? I got another Brisa that specifically mentions a hick who dreams of being Shimshon HaGibor. So, and he does specifically say a Nazir Shimshon. And it specifically says that we go Lahakel even in that case. What are you going to do about that? I don't know what the heck I'll do about that, but I'm not going to be responsible for every Brisa, you know? Itanya Tanya, if that's what it says, so be it. You figure it out. I ain't going to figure it out. Now, we're going to see, if you have patience, that there are some utaina that the Rambam figured it out. And that this is the explanation for an incredibly difficult thing to understand in the Rambam. All right. But we'll hold off on this now for a minute. So now, we're getting back to the question. Because, look, if it says it's, I can't explain it then. I don't know. So now I don't know what to do without Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. So Rav Ashi says, no, there's no problem. Actually, we happen to know that Rabbi Yehuda has a halacha that he quotes from Rabbi Tarfon. And that is introducing an entirely new idea, which has nothing to do with whether a person wishes to put himself into a position of doubt. It has to do whether Naziris is conceptually open to positions of doubt. And why not? Because of a diyuk in the pasuk. Rav Ashi Amar, this is Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Yehuda Mishum Rabbi Tarfon, because the Braisa says like this. There was a person coming, two people walking down the street. There's a guy coming. So one guy says, another hick, I'll be danged if that ain't George. If that ain't George, I'll be another. And the other guy says, well, I'll be danged if that is George. If that be George, I be another, right? Okay. And then what happens? The guy turns around and he never comes. Okay. So what happens if the guy does come? So then I guess whoever is going to be danged, whoever he is whatever he said he was going to be, right? No. Because Rabbi Yehuda quotes Rabbi Tarfon as saying neither of them are another, even if the guy turns out to be yes or no George. It's irrelevant. How could it be relevant? Ah. So he says it has nothing to do with what we know. It has to do with the clarity of the statement as it was made. It's a fundamental problem about Nazirut that the acceptance of Nazirut has to be absolutely clear. How do I know that? Ish ki yafli lindor neder nazir lahazir. And yafli means, oh my God, what an amazing, absolute ringing forth in bright, shining colors of love. Just like any yafli, I want this, and I know what I'm saying. Well, this hick don't know what he's saying. And therefore, it doesn't matter who it is. It is George or it's anti-George. It wouldn't matter in the least. Because he never said anything clear. Do you know what he wants? No. Does he know what he wants? Well, not really, because he really isn't sure. So therefore, and that explains when we said Rabbi Yehuda said that in the event that the be-danged guys who weren't sure whether it had 100 kilo in it or didn't have 100 kilo because it disappeared on them is irrelevant. Yeah, but wait a minute. You got a problem. Because if the issue is a fundamental issue of hafla'ah, who cares whether someone drove away all of the grain and they never got around to measure it? I thought they didn't. It wouldn't matter, even if it turned out that it did have 100 kilo or it didn't have 100 kilo. At the time that you made the neder, it wasn't a hafla'ah. So why is the case over there that a nimtza shenignav or sha'avad is irrelevant if it was nignav or avad, right? So obviously it's not going according to Rabbi Yehuda Halevi Rabbi Tarfon, because the Yochi Mayar is shenignav or sha'avad. It didn't have to be nignav or avad. No, that doesn't bother me. I'll tell you. Because, take out the word Ella. The Ella doesn't make any sense over here. And the idea over here is Lohodia Chakocha to Rabbi Shimon. That's just coming to tell me how far Rabbi Shimon would go. That not only, Rabbi Shimon says he is a Nazir, not only does he not require Hafla'ah and clarity, he doesn't even hold that, look, a guy's not going to put himself into a matzav which he'll never figure out whether he is a nazir. He's going to be up the creek without a paddle. He's not. Even that he doesn't hold. And he holds mayel inish nafshel sveika. So in order to make it clear that Rabbi Shimon is going all the way out on a limb, so in order to do that, we also include this, but Enochinami, Rabbi Yehuda, it wouldn't matter whether it did turn out to be 100 kilo, it didn't turn out to be 100 kilo, it's exactly the same. Now, how do we explain the Mishnah? Let's take a look. We already spoke about this when we learned the Mishnah. There's a contradiction, obvious contradiction, in the closing of the Mishnah. And therefore, in the end, as we explained in the Mishnah, it's got to be two different shitas. It can't be the same shita. It's exactly one line contradicts the previous line. Take a look at the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda says, if you talked about truma, he didn't say, what kind of truma? Do you mean truma salishka or do you mean truma sagoren? So he says, if the neder was in Yehuda, then it would be us. Because there, you could mean truma salishka. But if you were in the Galil, it would be mutter. Why? Because in the Galil, they never refer to truma salishka. So therefore, it's not a stam. It means exactly what it's saying. It would be Barnea's truma. Now, excuse me, but could you tell me what the din would be if they did have some familiarity with Truma Salishka? Would be Aser, right? So Hamakirin, it's Aser. So what is this saying, Rabbi Yehuda? He's saying that Suffolk is Lachumra, right? So he's saying, if you can absolutely rule out any Tzad Chumra, because I never heard of Truma Salishka, then it's not a Suffolk. But if it were a Suffolk, so then we'd have to go Lachumra, which would mean that he is consistent with the Tana of the Mishnah. But then look at the next words. It's insane. The next words say exactly the opposite. The next words say that if you say something should be a cherem and you don't explain, do you mean charmi kohanim or do you mean charmi berekabait? So then it says, well, in Yehuda, this is mutter, but in the Galil, it's osir. Why in the Galil is it osir? Because in the Galil, a cherem only means berekabait. They're not familiar with Barnea in the Galil. So if they would be, however, and it would be a suffix, what would be the din? It would be mutter. I'm so confused. Didn't you say that if there was any kind of suffix, it would be osir? And only because there's no tzad, nobody ever heard of Truma Salishka. Now it's exactly the opposite. Since nobody actually ever heard of Charmei Kohanim, that would be, has to be osir. But if they would have heard Charmei Kohanim, it would have been mutter, because it would be a suffix. And we would say Stam Nedarim are actually Lakula. I don't understand. First you say Sveika is Lakula, and then you say Sveika is Lakula? Rabbi, listen, there's no way out of this one, my friends. This is representative of two contradictory shitot. Obviously, the Reisha, it says Rabbi Yehuda Omer. It doesn't say who said the Seifa. I'll tell you who said the Seifa. The Seifa was a different statement by Rabbi Elazar Berabi Tzadik. And I know from a Braisa that there is exactly this machlokas in a Braisa between Rabbi Yehuda and between Rabbi Elazar Berabi Tzadik as to what the status would be of Stam. Listen to this Braisa, the Tanya. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Stam Truma B'Yehuda is Asura. Because it could be either kind of Truma. And Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadik says, Stam Charomim B'Galil, and only B'Galil Asurim, because it can only mean is. Okay, this makes it absolutely clear that there is precisely this machlokas, and this spells it out for you, is what the Stam would be. Our Mishnah puts it this way to drive the reader crazy in order to maintain Torah Shebaal Peh. So he says to himself, what? So he better figure out that these are contradictory shitas, and it forces him to go through the logical steps of recognizing that one of them is making the assumption that Stam is Usher, and the other one is making the assumption that Stam is Mutter, and not to read through this Mishnah like a 5-year-old, in which, there in the hood, it's this way in the Galil, it's that way, without even noticing. Oh my God. So this is the way some people read a Mishnah. Fine, so the Mishnah teaches you how to read a Mishnah. Now, we already did this next Mishnah, which is why Sir Richard has felt very, very deprived. I mean, we went into that Mishnah really as if it were part of the first Mishnah. Should he not be at least given the benefit of a doubt? I mean, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about a suffix and a Mishnah. I think he should be given a benefit of a doubt. Why don't you introduce the Mishnah, Sir Richard? Now, retroactively, it will be a proper Mishnah.
I'm a little bit famished.
Go ahead. So now we've already done this Mishnah, really, and as we explained, this is the Mishnah that we're contrasting to Stam Naziris, and this is Pirushan. And the Chiddush of the Pirushan is even the crazy Pirushan that we're going to be talking about over here, which, because it's so crazy, we only accept from a Talmud Chacham. But from an Am Haaretz, we have a machlokas about what kind of things we're going to put him through till we'll be matir. So, a guy swears something should be a cherem, but afterwards he says, yeah, what do you think I was talking about? I don't go around making the dorim, buddy. I got myself a fishing net. So just to scare people off, I say, no, you can't have any of that. That is a cherem, you know, meaning it's a fishing net, but they think I mean seriously. Or he says, I'm a korban, you know. A korban? Yeah, but what I meant was a gift to the king, you know. That's also a korban. Oh, that's a real sacrifice, too. Or he says, I myself, atzmi korban. Atzmi korban? Yeah, atzmi doesn't mean me, silly. Atzmi means the bone that I have in my drawer that I use to scare people off with. So the guy says, hey, can you spare me a dime for a cup of coffee? Hare atzmi korban. Oh, forget it. Okay, so in that case, I saved myself a dime for a cup of coffee. All I got to do is refer to the bone in the drawer. And I meant, or the guy's angry at his wife. He says, my wife can never be nene from me. Of course, I was referring to my first wife I divorced 10 years ago, you know, but let her be scared. So I never meant to answer her at all. So in all of these cases, there's not even a need for She'ela, because I just explained, you said Pirushan Lahakel. I just gave you a Pirush Lahakel. I don't need to go to a Besdin. It's obvious. Now, what's interesting, however, is that in the event that you do, what do you mean you do? Well, as we'll see in the Gemara, if the person who made this netter is an Am Haaretz, and we want to teach him a lesson, not to play these kind of games, cheapening the whole idea of Nedarim, you know, keeping a bone in your drawer. Come on, if a man. So, al kulam, enishalam lam, but im nishalo, if you did need to go to Besdin because you're an Am Haaretz, so then, first of all, we punish you. Onshimoto, what's the onshimoto? As we're going to see, that he's going to have to keep the number of days that he didn't take it seriously, because we're going to tell him, oh, you were a bad boy for 11 days. You didn't keep this netter. You know, you got to make up for those 11 days. You're going to have to keep that netter. And not only that, but we're going to be machmirim on you, and we're not going to allow you to come in and say, yeah, I have charot on the netter. We're going to have to find a pesach. We're going to put you through hell. You're going to jump through all kinds of loops till you get out of this one. That should teach you a lesson. Whereas the Chachamim say, no, let's not overdo it. We don't punish the guy. It's true we don't allow him to get away with murder by explaining that he meant the bone in the drawer. Yes, that's true. But we don't say you can't come along with Charot with Charot alone, and we don't put him through all the hoops. We don't put him through all the hoops. And we don't punish him. And we teach him, we're poskim petach mimakom acher, not from the very fact that you meant Charmo Shoyam or the bone. And we teach somebody a lesson. Malam Dimoto, listen here. Do not act this way. Kedoshalo Yinagu Kalut Rosh Binedarim. Okay, Rabotai. A lovely, lovely. I agree. It's one of these, it's not a hard daf, you know, but it's one of these dafim that are opening up a sugya in ways that are atypical for a Gemara. And as we've pointed out, Nidarim is atypical. It is weird. And that's exactly the language that the Rishonim use, the Rosh uses. Mishuneh, weird. So the Masechet is a weird Masechet, it's true, but it gives us a different way of looking at things, which, of course, is what Nedarim is all about. Zeh HaDavar. You want to see a different world, a crazy world? Get into the world of Nedarim. Exactly. Okay, everybody. Yes.
Rebbe?
Yeah.
It's written differently because it didn't develop. It wasn't a well-learned Masechet.
We spoke about the number of different explanations, but the deeper point that I'm suggesting, the deeper point is that there's a reason why it turned, whether it was a reason that people did on purpose or whether it developed, that is irrelevant. It's like the Zohar says, when you end up having the truth, it doesn't matter how you got there. You know, these Talmudic guys, they blow their shofar, and they think that they're blowing it because it's a suffix, whether it's considered to be sobbing or whether it's considered to be crying. Let them work it out the way they like to work it out. We understand that you need both sobbing and crying. These refer to different elements of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hanhaga. And of course, you need to have the kol of Rocha, which is Dina Rafia, and the difference between Dina Rafia and Dina Kash. We got it all worked out. These guys don't work out anything. They never know what they're doing, but it ends up working out. So what do you care? So the same thing is true over here. Doesn't matter how we got there. Whether we got there because of the Xeris Hamalchus and Bavel, or whether because it wasn't, it was something that was learned, Dafka and with the Lashon Yerushalayim, whatever it is. The point is that it's Mishuneh. I'm pointing out that the point is there's a good reason for it to be Mishuneh, because Nedarim are Mishuneh by definition. And that's why even Moshe Rabbeinu's Lashon of the Tzivoy of Nedarim is, listen, let me give you something strange, okay? Zeh HaDavar. I want to talk about something weird. I want to talk to you about a sugya called Nedarim. That's amazing. So what do we need to look to the Masechet? It's weird. Moshe Rabbeinu presented it as weird. It's fantastic. Okay, so therefore, it's not so strange that we should have these weird kind of dafim and different ways of looking at things, if after all, that is really the point of perspectives. And that's really today's daf. It's something weird about the nature of perspectives as to taking into consideration what would a person want in doing these kind of things. We don't usually take that into consideration. And when you think about it, when a bias started putting those two things together, isn't that the issue? The issue is, like, why are we including, like, you know, psychology? Is after psychology? Of course it does. That's the point. Neder is all about psychology. So if there'd be any place that you need to take into consideration, would a person be mild initial sveika and atzma? Would it be mild momental sveika? Would it be mild sveika in the event that the suffix is even worse than the real thing? Is he a hick? Does he mean what he says? And so on. That is all included in Zeh HaDavar. Instead of Ko Amar Hashem, which is the way, what we contrast to Zeh HaDavar, instead of Ko Amar Hashem, when people want to do things in their own weird way, it's Zeh HaDavar. So if you're talking about Shchut Echutz, Zeh HaDavar. What the heck is with you, man? Well, you're going to worship God in your own unique, inimical way. Yeah, and be chai, of course, while you're at it. So Zeh HaDavar. Okay, the same thing is true over here in this parsha of Nedarim. Okay, now speak.
Where does Rabbi want to explain to us how, what the Rambam figured out?
Oh, wowee. Now that's what I call concentration. Aha. So, the Rambam. Now here's the problem with the Rambam. The Rambam contradicts himself. Because the Rambam actually paskins this stira, right? By Nedarim, he says, Suffek Nedarim Lahachmer, like we're saying over here, by all of these cases. By Naziris, he says, Suffek Naziris is Lahakel. So where does that come from? So it could be, so some suggest it comes from the fact that a person's not going to make himself a suffix where the suffix is more chomer than the vadai, like the Gemara said today, right? Rosh Inke by Nedarim, we don't have that the suffix is more chomer than the vadai. But the problem is that the Rambam says an incredible thing, which, by the way, is nogei a lot of issues. We talk about whether we need to think about Eliyahu HaNavi bothering us on an Erev Shabbos or not. Anyway, so the Rambam says, somebody who makes himself a Nazir on the day that Ben David shows up, so then, l'chora, every day could be the day Ben David shows up. Ah, but what if it's a Shabbos or a Yontif, right? So the Rambam says, well, it's a suffix whether Ben David shows up on Shabbos or Yontif, and since it's a suffix, so then today he's not an Ozer. Right. So then, okay, so then if that's the case, there's no Naziris on this day. Now, the question is, there's no suffix Chomer Mivado on this day. Why suffix Chomer Mivado? So you keep it for one extra day, no? What's the suffix Chomer Mivado? You're definitely going to be an Ozer tomorrow. So what's Nafka Mina if the suffix is today? So Lachora, it doesn't have to do with the question of the way that the Achronim are trying to answer it, right? They're trying to say the answer is because this suffix is more Chomer than Vado. So maybe the Rambam paskins that Ein Naziris Ela Lahafla'a, like Rabbi Tarfon, which is Rabbi Yehuda quoting Rabbi Tarfon at the end, and therefore this is not Lahafra'a. But then the problem is, why does the Rambam paskin the case of the two hicks that talk about, I'll be danged about the 100-kilo grain, and when he wants to bring out that halacha, he says, and then it turns out that it was stolen, and somebody walked off with it, and we never find out whether it was in that case, Eino Nazir. But if he's paskening like Rabbi Tarfon, so then it shouldn't matter whether it was driven away or wasn't driven away, because the Gemara says, well, the initial statement of the Naziris needs to be Lahafla'a, and over here wasn't Lahafla'a, so what's an Afkamina, how it comes out in the end. So this is the interesting Chiddush of Reb Naftali Trop. Okay. So he explains that this is the Rambam's diak over here about Itanya Tanya, which means, all right, if it says that in the Braita, then we're going to have to bite the bullet. Meaning, what is biting the bullet? In other words, even if it says this, it's not a big problem. Why? Because I can explain the difference between the two cases. That in the event where the suffix will never be mivurar, then it has to be hafla'a. But in the event that it could be mivurar in the end, that's considered to be hafla'a. It's just a delayed hafla'a. And therefore, the Rambam says, if the Gemara came out with Itanya Tanya, it must have had this as an answer. Therefore, he paskins. Okay, I'll be that brisa. It's not a problem. We can be like Rabbi Tarfon, but redefine what the Gemara thinks is the implication of Rabbi Tarfon. Namely, who cares if it's stolen? Redefine that and say, yes, yes, we care. Perfect. Very interesting now. Anyways, you can see all the beautiful backs and forths of the Gemara. It's really beautiful, really sweet.